You please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This evening we are gathered to share in the good news of great joy that will be for all people. And the diversity and the unity that's gathered here together tonight never ceases to amaze me. Because where else in your daily life will you sit next to a child or an elder, sit next to a child, or will we have people of low, middle, or upper incomes or education sit together? Where else will you find political conservatives and progressives in the same room? I don't mean to scare you, but there are indeed conservatives and progressives in this same room. Think of that when you pass the peace to one another. You might just wonder, am I passing the peace? And we're not just gathered together, just sort of making do in the same space, but we're gathered together in worship, united in song and attention to God's word, an invitation to his table. And it's the fulfillment of what the angel declared to the shepherds, saying that he brought good news of great joy that will be for all people. Though the diversity of public worship is amazing, I realize that we're not all here for the same reasons. Julia, who came to play cello, is here for a different reason for those who are sitting in the congregation. I, for one, have a different role and assignment in today's worship. But I'm sure that there is a whole wide range of belief among you this evening. Some of you may be agnostic about the great good news of great joy. You're not opposed to it, but you may not say that you're convinced of it. But it's still something worth exploring personally and honoring in others. Similarly, some of you were invited here to come by family members or friends. And perhaps your belief and engagement has been primarily through family and friends who have who follow this, this Savior and see this as good news of great joy. Perhaps at one time in your life, you were more confident of the truth of this, but over time it's played a less central role in your life. Others, like the children who've just set the example for us, are here to actively retell the miracle of the Incarnation, to sing and to create and to pray, to eat and drink of the good news of great joy. And they're the ones who are ready to turn the volume up to 11 when we sing Joy to the World, so be ready. And you can turn the volume up to 11 if you wish. Whatever he brings you here tonight, you are welcome. Because as the angel told the shepherds, the Savior's birth is good news of great joy to all people. The witnesses assembled in the story of Jesus' birth were likewise drawn to Bethlehem from diverse places. The shepherds were out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks, doing work, working the night shift at humble jobs, when an angel of the Lord interrupted them and then was joined by a whole choir of angels, which shared the good news and summoned them to come to Bethlehem. The wise men, too, were probably hundreds of miles away, most likely in modern-day Iran, before they were summoned by a glorious sign of the star. And the angel Gabriel came to Mary, a virgin, who according to custom was probably hidden away in her father's house until she was married. She was a young girl who heard incredible things from the Lord and submitted herself to God's will, though not understanding it, knowing how she as a virgin would conceive, she thankfully received the news saying to God, "Let it be to me as you have said." Angels declared the good news to humble shepherds and entrusted them with a clear and a specific testimony. A brilliant and a mysterious star summoned wise men from the east, and the angel Gabriel came to Mary in her hiddenness, telling her that she had found favor with God. These three characters are honest and authentic examples of how we might receive the good news of great joy that we heard of this evening and that we'll celebrate in the days to come. Perhaps your heart is drawn to the way that the shepherds received the good news. Your heart is stirred by the fact that God has scattered the proud and exalted the humble, that he's interrupted the routine of the mundane and announces salvation to the meek and lowly. He comes to people even on the night shift or in the midst of nighttime feedings, the times when we might feel like we're the most anonymous, and reminds them that they are known by him. God could have sent angels to the temple and to priests and Sadducees and scribes with the news that unto you is born this day, but instead he honored shepherds with the responsibility of being first witnesses to the gospel. They would find the Savior of the world not in a palace, but in a manger. Not in a place that was shut off from them, but a place that they could seek out and find. Perhaps your heart is stirred by the example of the wise men, explorers who sought the meaning of a new star. They diligently followed the sign, even though it led them from their own land of power and wealth and sophistication to a faded ancestral home of a long-deposed king. It led them to Bethlehem. Their desire for wisdom motivated them to travel by night over hundreds of miles, not sure where or to whom the star might lead them. It wasn't enough to hear about it from others. They wanted to see it for themselves. And of course, we have the holy example of Mary, the favored one, a teenage girl who offered herself to God as an exemplary bride. A young girl who, in spite of not understanding how could this be, nonetheless entrusted herself to God's will. So that for 9 months, her body was a tabernacle, the place where God's glory dwelled and rested with the Israelites. She would deliver into the world the Son of God, whose kingdom would have no end. Jesus, who would fulfill the promises made to Abraham and his descendants, so that through him all people would be blessed. Jesus' birth is good news of great joy to all people, to the plain spoken and to the cultured and educated, to children as well as to adults. To all, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. In our observance of the church calendar over the next year, we'll be reminded of the many dimensions of that good news of great joy. We'll hear of God's revelation to all people through Jesus' life lived even unto death on a cross. How Jesus, like his mother, answered God the Father, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done," as he offered himself as a living sacrifice. We'll celebrate Jesus' victory over sin and death each Sunday as we proclaim his death and resurrection. We'll celebrate Jesus' ascension to the right hand of God the Father, where he, the Son of David and the Son of God, reigns as King forever. We'll rejoice that he's not left us comfortless, but has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and overshadow us, as he did in the tabernacle and with Mary. This is the good news of great joy to all people, so that whatever you brought here this evening, or whatever brought you here, make haste to him in whatever way God is stirring in your heart. If you're not united to him through baptism and belief, make haste and come to this his table. Receive of Jesus' life. For Jesus, whose first resting place was a manger, in some ways prefigured his life, which gives life. For he is the true bread which came down from heaven. Receive then of Jesus, who offered his life and body for the life of the world. Perhaps you might come instead to the communion rail and receive a prayer of blessing or pray with one of our prayer ministers. For God's will is that everyone who comes to and looks upon the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And God says also that seek the Lord while he wills to be found, call upon him while he is near. Do not be ashamed to make haste. Do not be ashamed to in word or action communicate the joyful urgency that the Savior has been born and will come in glory. For he is Savior to the anonymous, the humble, and the poor. He's the Savior to all who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, whatever their background. Make haste to the Savior with holy fear. Not for fear of judgment, but like the urgency of a bride or a groom rushing to their wedding, or guests rushing to a feast that's soon to begin. I know some of you probably have feasts soon to begin later tonight. For today is indeed a feast in celebration of God with us. A feast in anticipation of the eternal feast to which he invites all people to dwell with him. This is the good news of great joy to all people. So then come, let us adore him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.